Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
The presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Surely God is in this place. He is with you. On your way to your seat, give somebody an air high five. Tell them they're looking good. Yeah, air high five. You got it. You know the social distancing way. Y'all are looking good tonight. And if you have your Bible, we're going to jump right in tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. And before we read the text, I want to take a second really quickly just to say once again, thank you to First Baptist Charlotte. You are absolutely incredible. We are blown away. Pastor Robert and the leadership of First Baptist Charlotte, what a selfless and humble thing you've done to open up your doors to allow a homeless church. Won't be homeless for long, but homeless church to come and gather and worship. I also want to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers in the house. Let's give it up one more time for all the fathers in the house tonight. My dad is here. Dave Coughlin is in the house. And my father-in-law is here as well. And so honor you guys and love you, appreciate you. I'm just going to warn you, tonight I'm just going to be all up in your face. All right, so look at your neighbor and tell them, get ready. So last week we had some fun and we were laughing and I was walking all around spitting and screaming, and tonight is going to be a little different, but I truly believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to his people today. Guys, I got to get you to understand that church is not about entertainment value. Church is not about how you feel. Church is not about the goosebumps. It's not about who's sitting next to you. Church is about connecting and being reconciled to the God who gave you life, to the God who breathed life into you. He wants to do something in your life tonight. I truly believe it. He wants to do something in mine. So I want to encourage you from the onset, let's not treat tonight like just another sermon, like just another service. Let's lean in as if the Spirit of the Lord was speaking directly to us. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's all I want to read to you tonight from Ephesians 5. I want us to take a moment, and this is not the main text, but I want us to take a moment and allow this scripture right here to frame the context of the hour in which we live. I want you to know that Jesus is coming again. Look at your neighbor and help me preach and tell him Jesus is coming again. Jesus warned his listeners 2,000 years ago, and he said, you can predict the weather. You know if it's gonna rain tomorrow. You know how much humidity is gonna be in the air, but you are completely oblivious to the hour in which you live. And my goodness, is that ever true of us tonight? We can predict the weather. We can tell you it's gonna be 91 tomorrow, but we completely overlook and are oblivious to the hour in which we live. Jesus warned us that there would be signs, that there would be indications as history of mankind, as we draw closer and closer to his return. He said in Matthew chapter 24 that You will see earthquakes in diverse places. You'll see wars and rumors of war. You'll see pestilence, meaning plagues and pandemics, poured out the world over. And we've read those verses and we say, well, there have always been earthquakes and there have always been plagues and there have always been rumors of violence all around the world. What else is new? And Jesus continued in Matthew 24 by saying, it's like a woman who is giving birth. As the labor pains become more intense and as they become more frequent, that is the indication that the sun is almost here. And so there have always been earthquakes and violence and calamities and pandemics, but I believe in our lifetime we are seeing them in an increased intensity and in an increased frequency. Church, I want you to be aware that Jesus is coming again. I know nobody preaches this because it's not popular and it's not politically correct. Welcome to Vision Church. And this text is not just about Jesus coming again, but it's about his bride, the church. And Jesus is not just coming back for any church. He's not just coming back for any old bride, if you will. He's coming for a bride that has made herself ready. He's coming for a bride that was actually anticipating his arrival. He's coming for a bride that was counting down the days until she was reunited with the bridegroom. Now, if the coming of Jesus makes you a little uneasy or a little uncertain, or you're a little afraid of how you'll be stand and how you'll be found in that moment, then you showed up on the perfect night tonight. Because the Bible says that he is coming again for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And he says, I'm coming for a church, a bride that has been washed in the cleansing water of my word. And so tonight, over the next few moments, I'm gonna wash you in the word of the living God. I'm gonna let it shower over you and remove every wrinkle, every blemish, and every stain. This is a call that as we see the signs of the time unfold around us, that the New Testament church should make her heart ready for the coming of the King. If there are blemishes, if there are wrinkles, if there's hidden sin, if there's unrepented sin in your life, may this be the moment that you repent and turn to God. May we be a bride who make ourselves ready. I'm not implying that your good works can make you ready. No, it is your repentance and your faith and your trust in the finished work of Christ that makes you ready. But he calls us to repent of our sin. He calls us to repent of it. I wonder tonight if the Lord were to come before this sermon is finished, would you be found ready? If he were to come before the praise team reassumes their position, would you be found with spot and wrinkle and blemish inside of your heart? Would you be found with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart? If he came before this sermon was finished, would he find idolatry inside of your soul where you love money and pride and possessions more than you loved him? If he were to come this very moment, what state would he find you in? You see, it's not my job to entertain you. It's not my job to make you laugh. It's not my job to collect an offering and build a great church. It's my job to make the bride ready, that she would be washed in the word of God, that she would be cleansed, and that she would repent of her sin. This is written to Christians. Ephesians 5 is not talking to the world. Look at your neighbor with some attitude and tell him the Bible's talking to you. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what else Ephesians 5 says here. It says that he's coming for a bride that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. All of those things, spots, wrinkles, blemishes, all of them, they're small things. It's the small things that make the biggest impact. It's the small things that are the greatest danger to your spiritual well-being. It's the little things that you've allowed in your heart. It's the little things that nobody can see that he's calling you to repent of tonight. The Bible warns that just a little bit of yeast can work its way through the whole batch. Just a little bit of bitterness, just a little bit of greed, just a little bit of lust can turn your life upside down. He also uses a very interesting word in Ephesians 5. He says, not only am I coming for a bride that has made herself ready, not only am I coming for a bride that is washed in the word, but he said, I'm coming to sanctify her. Look at your neighbor and say, sanctify. That's a fancy theological word that means this. There are three things. I'm going to give you a little theology lesson really quickly. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. When Jesus saves you, he saves all of you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. His redemptive work is Trinitarian in its effect. It reaches every part of you. The moment that you repent of your sin, instantly you are justified by faith. Means that he has finished the work and you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. The moment you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are justified. That means that you are saved and surely saved in that very prayer. You are justified, positioned in a place of righteousness. The Bible calls you holy, righteous, forgiven, blameless, redeemed. How can that be? Because you are justified, positioned spiritually by faith, forgiven. But there's another word called sanctified. And sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. You see, justified is what he has done for me. Sanctification is what he wants to do through me. I'm trying to preach to somebody. The gospel is not get saved, sit in a pew, and wait till you get, you know, in the sweet by and by. No, 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 no. The gospel is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It wants to refine you. It wants to mold you. It wants to shape you, to change you, to cleanse you. It wants you to be on a journey. Sanctification is a journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. The enemy of your spiritual development is complacency and comfortability. So if you feel a little uncomfortable tonight, you're welcome. Sanctification is the journey of becoming more like Jesus today. Anybody want to be more like Jesus today? I know you're not perfect. I'm far from it. Christina can definitely amen that. But my goal is to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. Yes, I'm saved. I'm justified by faith. But I'm being sanctified every day that I deny myself so that Christ may be seen in my life. He's coming for a church that wants to be like Jesus. You see the word today? You see it? I want you to be washed in the word. I want you to be sanctified. I want you to be more like me today than you were before. Don't let the little things take over your heart. This is a call to holiness. It's a call to action. It's a call to live out the righteousness that he has afforded to you. If you have your Bible, look with me tonight. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Should we, again, Romans chapter 6 is talking to who? The church. He's talking to the bride. He's talking to the one who should make herself ready. He's saying, don't continue in sin that grace may abound. The King James Version says, God forbid that you would continue living in sin that grace would abound. Just another Bible study point for you right here on Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 is built on the foundations of Romans chapter 5, verse 20. You got to remember that the Bible was not written in chapters and in verses. It was written in one manuscript. We added the chapters and the verses later so we could find our place. Here's what Romans 5:20 says. Romans 5:20 says that where sin abounds, grace much more. Woo! Anybody thankful for a verse like that? Where sin abounds, grace much more. You see, we deserve to be condemned. We deserve to be judged on the spot, but instead, where he found sin, he gave mercy. He gave grace. Paul is writing Romans 6 on top of Romans 5 to a people who have heard the good news of salvation, that they are washed in the word, they are cleansed by their faith in Jesus Christ, they are washed in his blood, the debt has been paid, the work is finished, there's nothing else for them to add to their salvation, so now they're looking at it saying, well, I guess if I just sin, it's not that big a deal. I guess sin isn't really that important because wherever sin is, grace abounds much more. And he says, God forbid, here I'm gonna paraphrase for you. God forbid, Christian, bride of Christ, that you trample on the grace that saves you. Don't get too comfortable with the sin that you're living in right now. You see, we have lulled ourselves spiritually to sleep because when we sinned blatantly, and no judgment fell on us instantly, we thought we got away with it. Or we thought God was okay with it. But just because the consequences didn't find you out immediately is not the indication of God's approval or disapproval. For the wages of sin is death, and sin is never free. He wants his church to be sanctified, washed in the blood, washed in the cleansing of his word, and he doesn't want us apathetic in our spiritual journey. He doesn't want us to just accept the sins that we've always dealt with as just, well, that's the way it's always gonna be. He wants us to be on a journey, on a progression, living more and more like the one in whose image we were fashioned. So let me ask you again, bride of Christ, what wrinkle, what blemish, what spot so small have you become so comfortable with that you've ignored it, that you've stopped repenting of it, that you've stopped giving it over to God? What sin, what wrinkle, what spot, what blemish do you still hold on to? Because that's the thing he wants to deal with tonight. And I'm just gonna rain on your parade. Everyone sitting in this room has one, myself included. He wants us to go from glory to glory. He wants us to go from where we are to a greater place in him. Do not trample on the grace that saves you. I want to tell you a story real quick. I told this story several months ago, but it just fits so perfectly, I have to tell it again. So, confession. I watched a little bit of The Bachelorette the last time it was on, and I hate it, let me tell you. It's very painful for me. But I watched a little bit of it, okay? A little bit of it. And one of the women on the show said something that just made me just want to just, I mean, I was like losing it, okay? And this is my justification to never watch The Bachelorette again. She basically said this: I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know I shouldn't be with all these gentlemen. Okay, I'll leave it at that. You're smart enough, you can figure it out. It's a family service. And she said, but God still loves me. In other words, I'm gonna go head on and do it because I wanna do it, but God will still love me. I'm gonna go ahead and sin even though I know it's wrong because he still loves me. And she's right. He still loves you. The question is, do you love him? That's the real question. Because as a bride, we ought to love him enough to say, not my will, but yours. And that's the exact mindset that Romans 6:1 is conflicting with. I'm just gonna sin and it's all right. Heaven forbid that we continue in sin that grace may abound. Don't trample on the grace that saves you. When you make a mistake, when you sin, listen, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But here's the deal, church. When you sin, fall on your knees and repent before a holy God. And don't give up on your faith. Get up from that place and keep following Jesus. And don't just settle and be like, well, that's okay. That's how it's always gonna be. We are being sanctified. We're being sanctified. And now I'm not gonna preach forever tonight. I know I say it all the time, I really mean it tonight, okay? Because you're listening real good. So when you listen well, I preach faster. It's when you fall asleep on me or you get distracted, that's when I just keep going. It's hard to fall asleep with me, though, screaming and spitting and flailing. I had somebody tell me one time, I preach too intense. Say, well, excuse me, Jesus, save my soul. Excuse me while I get a little rowdy up in here. We're only talking about heaven and hell. We're only talking about eternity, that's all. So no need to get too excited. I wanna bring something to your attention. And this is really what I truly, sincerely feel the Holy Spirit wants to convey to you tonight. I sincerely believe this. When you got saved, there was a funeral and a birthday party at the same time. I'm gonna say that one more time because I know it sounds weird. When you got saved, when you knelt at an altar, when you confessed your sin, when you believed it with all of your heart, there was a funeral and a birthday in the same moment. In other words, when you said yes to Jesus, you were dying to who you used to be. Romans chapter 6, if you just keep reading it, it says, how can we continue to make excuses for our sin when we were supposed to have died to it? the moment we were baptized into his salvation. See, the day that Tyson Coughlin repented of my sin, he died. He died. At least he should have. And now I no longer live for myself, but it is Christ who lives through me. The word says it this way, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will surely find it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Church, I really pray that you receive this. I really pray you receive this. Because in order for you to be born again, you know the lingo that we use as Christians, when you're saved, you're born again Christian. Jesus said, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven unless you be born again. Think about it. In order for you to be born again, you had to die. I'm just trying to preach somebody tonight. In order for you to be born again, the old you had to die. I love it how everybody wants revival, but nobody wants to die to their flesh. You can't revive something that didn't die. There can't be a resurrection without a death and a burial. There can't be Resurrection Sunday without Good Friday. Something had to die. The Word of God is telling you, don't you realize it, that your life is no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. The moment that you said yes to Jesus, you died to who you used to be. Your selfish ambition, your selfish pleasure, all of the selfish and self-centered goals that you had erected, you died to them. At least you should have. Here's the thing, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I fear that today we have preached a gospel where you don't have to die to yourself. You just add Jesus to it as fire insurance and you're okay. Jesus actually taught, if you want to follow me, really, you should count the cost and you should pick up your cross and follow after me. I mean, is this the Bible or not? I know it sounds heavy. I know it sounds heavy, but I promise you, when you die to you and Christ then lives through you, surrender is the most liberating decision you'll ever make. Surrender is the most freeing decision you will ever make. His ways are greater than your ways. His plans are greater than your plans. His thoughts are greater than your thoughts. I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I need to find my identity. I need to find my purpose. I need to find my mission. Because Christianity today has just made it all about you. It's like, ooh, like you got something special on you. Like your identity is just one in a billion. Can I be just really honest with you? When you gave your life to Jesus, our identity went into a grave so that his resurrection life could live and radiate through me. The question is not, what is my identity? What is my purpose? What is my mission? The real question is, what is his purpose? What is his mission? What is his identity? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? Who does he want me to reach so that Christ can live through you? You see, if you want to know your mission, just read Jesus. You want to know your purpose? Read Jesus. How did Jesus love the indefensible? How did Jesus love the unlovable? How did Jesus treat the outcast? How did Jesus treat the downtrodden? How did Jesus treat the overlooked and the misfits? Well, that's how I should treat the overlooked, the downtrodden, and the misfit. What did Jesus do for the oppressed, for injustice? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? That's what you should do, and that's what you should say, and that's your identity, and that's my identity, and that's what this is all about. That's what Ephesians 5, that's what Romans 6 is all about. The people are saying, how close can I get to sin and still make it to heaven? And Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, you have lost it. It's not about you. It's not about how much fun you can have. It's not about how much wealth you, it's not about you. You died to you the day you said yes to Jesus. Now it's about Christ living and loving and speaking through you. Love like he loved. The whole racial stuff, my God, have mercy. Love like Jesus loved. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Guess what? Every person breathing air is your neighbor. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, they're your neighbor. They're the image of God. You want to live more like Jesus? Love your neighbor. Stand up for your neighbor. Let your neighbor know you hurt with those who hurt and you rejoice with those who rejoice. Stand on the side of justice and truth and holiness. Love one another. You want to know what your mission and your purpose is? You want to be blameless? You want to be sanctified? Then look at how Jesus forgave and forgive that kind of way. Some of y'all Christians, you've been holding on to something somebody said to you since 1982 and you just cannot let it go. What did Jesus say? The disciples were like, how many times do we need to forgive them? In other words, they're like, three? Is it three? Because I can forgive twice, but third time I can't do it. What did Jesus say? 70 times seven. In other words, forgive always. Well, shouldn't we strike back? Shouldn't we fight back? Jesus said, if somebody strikes you in one cheek, turn to them the other. Violence is not the answer. You want to live like Jesus? Do you really want to live like Jesus? Because that's the life. And that's the mercy, and that's the forgiveness that you're called to. Frank, if you want to come back and help me out, bro, so I know to stop talking. Can we give it up for Frank right now? Just Frank Suero and Laritza. This is an anointed man right here. When he plays the piano, it sounds so heavenly. Everything I say sounds 10 times more spiritual. But I sincerely believe and fear that in American Christianity, we have made it so simple to get saved that nobody understands the covenant that they're actually entering. Like Jesus said, you really, before you accept me, you need to think about it. You need to count the cost. Because see, if you really want to follow me, you're going to have to die to you. Because see, I forgive, you don't. So that part of you that doesn't want to forgive has to die. In me, there's no male or female, Jew or Gentile. In me, we're all one. So that part of you that wants to hate, that part of you that wants to discriminate, has to die. I want to be generous. Jesus wants us to be generous. He's a giver in everything that he did. He was generous. That part of us that's greedy, that part of us that wants to hold on to everything, has to die if you want to live like Jesus. There's something about us Americans, we want to climb to the top. We want to be the most successful, have the biggest net worth. We want to be great in the eyes of men. We are infatuated with fame and celebrity. And Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, that part of you has got to die. Jesus took the towel from around his waist and he knelt down and he began to wash the filthy feet of the disciples. The King of Kings became the lowliest of servants. Do you still want to follow Jesus? Do you still want to look more like him today than you did yesterday? Are you sure you want this whole Christianity thing? Because to say yes to Jesus, you and I have got to die. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the beauty and the simplicity of the gospel message. I pray that tonight in this place, that you would shine your light into the areas of our heart, to the areas of our mind, where we are unrepentant. Shine your light, Lord, into the areas of our life that we have yet to yield and surrender to you. Lord, show us the areas of our life that still have the spot, the wrinkle, and the blemish. Father, may we be washed by your word. May we be cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus. And Father, whatever that area is in our life, we surrender it to you right now. If it's pride, if it's lust, if it's greed, if it's bitterness, unforgiveness, if it's prejudice, if it's hatred, Lord, whatever it is, we give it to you. You're the only one who can cleanse us. You're the only one who can heal us. You're the only one who can make us new. Father, I pray that tonight, each and every one of us would just look a little bit more like you tonight than we did when we came in. We lay down our arrogance and our selfish ambition at the feet of the cross. It is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Tonight, the response to this message needs to be this. The prayer of Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. When I wake up tomorrow morning, it's not what does Tyson want to do? What does Tyson want to say? Where does he want to go? No, no, no. Lord, what do you want from me today? What do you want to say through me? What do you want to do through me? How do you want to love through me today? I'm gonna give you just one more quick thing. This is not to brag on me. This is just to tell how I'm trying to live this in just a small, tiny way. The other day, Christina and I were at, where were we at? Some sub place, Jersey Mike's. Whatever you think of Jersey Mike's, I don't know. There was a line. I was hangry. It was at the height of all of the racial tension. And there was a woman in front of us who you could just tell was just weary. She was just tired. She just looked like she was just barely hanging on. And she ordered a ton of food. And I just felt in that moment, both of us, like we were just supposed to just step up and just pay for her meal and just tell her, hey, listen, like Jesus loves you, Not come to Vision Church Sunday morning, 9:30 and 11:15. No, no, no. Just Jesus loves you. It was a small thing, right? I was hangry, I was in a hurry, but we did that. Just very small thing. And the woman, you would have thought we gave her like $1 million. Like she was so thankful and so grateful, really, sincerely. And everybody in that room, just the atmosphere shifted. It did. You just shifted in that whole place. And I'm not saying that so that you can think I'm cool or great, because far from it, I need to do it way more. But in that just little moment right there, we decided, Lord, just use us however we can, wherever you are. People think that in order to be used by God, you need to quit your job and go into full-time ministry, go to seminary. Listen, God wants to use you right where you are. You are in full-time ministry right where you are. Whether it's the classroom, whether it's the mechanic shop, wherever you are, God wants to use you to be his light, to be his love, not to bring glory to self, but to bring glory to him, to heal the wounds that the world has inflicted and to show them that there is hope in the name of Jesus. If you'd stand with me all over this place, if you're watching this video online, or you're in this room and you have not given your life to Jesus, you're watching this tonight, and if the Lord were to come right now, you don't know where you'd be, you don't know where you'd stand, you don't know what blemish would be found in your soul, I want to encourage you, pray this prayer with me right now. It can't just be my words, it's got to be yours, because it's not your good deeds that save you. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. Pray this with me right now. Father, I come to you as a sinner. I confess to you many, many areas and many, many times in my life I've failed you and come up short of your glory. Father, forgive me. Wash my wrinkles and spots and all of it away. I believe that the finished work of the cross atones for all sin. I believe, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world, the Messiah, sent from God, died on the cross and resurrected on the third day. And today, I place my faith and my trust in you. Jesus, empower me. Give me the strength to live more like you today than I did yesterday. Help me to be sanctified, washed in the blood of Jesus, that the world might see you and fall in love with you more and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.